Hey, what you waiting on? Check checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show. Turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student. I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this. I ain't new to this. My style is rich. It's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fashion. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. You look at me every Monday. After kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony. Go BBS Radio.
That's right. Another week of BBS Radio. But this week, going to be a little different. We got a lot of stuff going on. And tonight is the NFL draft. So what's going to happen? A lot of people are going to be happy. Some people are wondering, will they get drafted within these next couple of days? Happy, sad, but for the most part, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful show that we're going to make sure that our guests get ready to tune into. Do not go anywhere. I got a load of guests coming on. Listen, because guess what? There's going to be some things coming that we're going to be that's giving it to you and giving it to you just like the streets are bringing it to you. But tonight's show is going to be interesting. As I told you, we're going to talk some draft. But as everybody knows, the hottest topic right now in the sports world is Shannon Sharpe's situation. The Shannon Sharpe situation has many people on both sides of the spectrum saying, what is this? What all took place in this? You know what I'm saying? And as Shannon put it on there, is it a money grab? Did it take place? Was it something that went, got going and just went too far and got out of hand? You're going to see as we break down, Stephen A. Smith even came out and spoke. And I'm going to tell you something. We're going to get into the Stephen A. Smith one as we talk. Because I heard the Stephen A. Smith one once before, as I told you. I heard that segment once before, and it just didn't come out confident that, this is something that he was going to be able to stay with the show and continue to do what he do with the network. When you're talking about a lot of things, even some of the situations with FS1, assistant producer starting to surface. And when Tony Busby is on these things, and everybody know how he's looked at in this, man, it is crazy. But without further ado, I want to bring on my guest. Let's bring my guest on. Do we got? What's up, guys? What's happening? What's going on, man? What happened? Why they didn't light y'all up? What happened? Y'all ain't have time to Thomas. We ain't have time to put their faces on. Is there any way that we can? I want to get a chance to see their faces. Yeah, we'll get it later. But we got my man Arias and my man Chris. What's up? What's up, Chris? What's happening, my brother?
What's going on? What's going on, Coach?
Oh man, nothing, man. I'm in. As we go, we got another week of hot topics going on throughout the sports world. When it comes to topics around the sports world, wow, this thing is getting the water's getting murky for some people, and tonight is getting some people are getting blessed because it is the draft tonight. The draft would kick off in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'm still trying to understand how the NFL take a draft to Green Bay, Wisconsin, but that's neither here nor there. But the biggest story we got that we're gonna dive into, we're gonna get this thing rolling, and get it going. But it's interesting to see how this came out, and you got to remember this story broke on Monday with Shannon Sharpe. The allegations of Shannon Sharpe As a matter of fact, and I want my guests to get a feel of what we're saying. Thomas, can we start the Stephen A. Smith soundbite? And I want you to, that one there, we're going to start right at the beginning. We are not going to, and I think that's, I don't want to hype on his, right at about 56 seconds, I don't want to hype on his commercial. We're only going to do commercials that going to get us paid, not that already getting Stephen A. Smith paid. But we're going to break down what Stephen A. Smith stated here. As ever, if, for those that don't know, first before we get into this, guys, we know there's some, been some serious allegations made with Stephen A. Smith and a young lady that was he was dating. As he stated, it was a consensual relationship between him and this young lady. But the young lady said it. She said it was consensual. But I guess some things went awry, and she's now filing. She's now have filed with Busby. But these cases are so interesting, guys. You understand? They're interesting, Chris. Riz, how you guys? Since you guys been listening to what all been playing out, what's your take on a lot of this stuff with Shannon Sharpe?
I guess I'll chime in first. I really feel it's the timing. The timing is what usually ends up throwing me off with a lot of these with a lot of these cases where, a high profile figure, set to see a certain amount of money, and then all of a sudden the allegations end up just flying out the front door. And, you just end up taking a step back and looking at it, and it's just like, really, you wait till now to all of a sudden want to voice yourself. But what I really end up perplexed by is in this certain situation where, Shannon has apparently provided receipts detailing more so the consent, like, it being consensual, it just really takes you back to a moment where it's like you never know where somebody's mental can be towards their motives until they're pushed far enough. And then with this situation in particular, it ends up really throwing you for a loop because you'll never really understand the true genuineness behind a person until things get rough. And when this situation got rough, we clearly see where it went.
We're saying it got at what? I mean, it was rough all the way through the situation. You say it got rough. The situation seemed like it was rough all the way through, if you understand what I'm saying. It was a rough situation starting out because you can see clearly the text messages that came from her, from her to Stephen, to Shannon Sharpe. And now it came out once the $100 million, and I guess you can look at it a couple of ways. The $100 million came, but did the $10 million offer come before the $100 million was offered? Is another question that we got to wonder. You see what I'm saying? Did the $10 million, I offered you $10 million at some point. Did you and Mr. Busby hold off? And as soon as I announce that I'm getting ready to do a deal for $100 million, that you guys decide, hey, listen, we got to go back to the table because now we want $50 million. 100 million, 10 million is not good enough. We want 50 million. Real, give me your take on this.
Man, it's mind-boggling, man, because it's like it just kind of to chime in on what Chris said, man. You wait until this certain amount of money comes. Now all of a sudden, these allegations are coming out. It is the timing of everything. Like we're waiting until this, we get this $10 million offer. Allegations are coming out. $10 million offered. We see that big check, that big payday is coming. Now we want to know, we want more. We want to continue. Like they want now. I feel like we're going to basically the court of public opinion before, we even get into the court. So now we're tarnishing his reputation, things like that. That's hard to really come back from. That's a bad situation. Because
And
seeing these false allegations is very tough.
we, as a matter of fact, and for those that are just joining the Tony Sands Show, we're here, we're chiming in on the Stephen, I mean, the Shannon Sharpe, ESPN, First Take. The young lady that has just accused Shannon Sharp, as we just would call it, he's been accused because ain't nothing been, he's not been convicted of anything. And then these cases are so interesting because you come back here now and there's never been any legal situation with this where this went criminal. It went straight after so amount of time, went civil. Now, did it start rising as Shannon's popularity start rising is a question. But I want to let you guys listen to a piece of what Stephen A. Smith came in. When I heard this here, I said to myself, I've heard this before. And when I heard this before, that person pretty soon is probably going to not be around or have to step away. And I'm quite sure some of the higher ups at ESPN probably said, hey, listen, let's step away, deal with your legal situations. And everybody understand ESPN is owned by Disney. So we don't, you know, there's a lot of things been going on around when you're talking about Disney. How much do Mickey Mouse want to be exposed in a world that Mickey Mouse is not used to being in? But let's chime in on this Stephen A. Smith soundbite to let our guests hear exactly what was being said here at Stephen A. Smith when Stephen A. came out with this. He came out because he had, like I said, when it was breaking, they were actually on the show when this stuff was being, when it was breaking, breaking news. So let's turn to that and let's dive into that one.
This show coming at you over the digital areas of YouTube and of course iHeartRadio. As always, thanking all of y'all for y'all support for watching the show and what have you. The millions of downloads I received over iHeartRadio. Subscribers now eclipsing 1.18 million. Thank you so much for the love and support. Today's a different day because of where I have to get started and where I have to finish. There's only going to be one subject discussed today, and it's where we're getting started. It's involving some news that broke yesterday involving Shannon Sharp, my colleague at ESPN, and my friend. The Hall of Fame tight end was sued on Sunday by a woman proceeding under the name Jane Doe, pseudonym. The 13-page civil complaint filed in Nevada alleges that Sharp committed assault, sexual assault, battery, and sexual battery. The plaintiff alleges Sharp sexually assaulted her several times at the end of 2024 and the beginning of 2025. The suit also alleges that Shannon engaged in the intentional infliction of emotional distress. It should be noted that the suit was filed by attorney Tony Busby. This is the same attorney that filed a suit against Jay-Z and P. Diddy, alleging they both sexually assaulted a minor, which has since been withdrawn. Jay-Z also has countersued Busby. By the way, the plaintiff in the Sharp civil suit is not the woman heard in the accidental Instagram live stream incident that made headlines last September of last year. In response to the suit, Shannon and his legal team went to social media yesterday and released a series of allegedly sexually explicit text messages between him and the Jane Doe. In addition to that, they issued the following statement, quote, "This lawsuit, filed by Gabriella Zuniga and orchestrated by her attorney, Tony Busby, is a blatant and cynical attempt to shake down Mr. Sharp for millions of dollars. It is filled with lies, distortions, and misrepresentations, and it will not succeed," end quote. Then earlier today, Jane Doe's attorney, Tony Busby, sent TMZ Sports a 1 minute and 36 second clip of an alleged conversation between his client and Shannon. In response to that clip, Shannon Sharp went back to social media and issued this response. Take a look.
"To my family, friends, supporters, and colleagues, I want to speak to you directly and from the heart. This is a shakedown. I'm going to be open, transparent, and defend myself because this isn't right. This is all being orchestrated by Tony Busby, who has targeted Jay-Z. Tony Busby targets black men, and I believe he's going to release a 30-second
Thomas, let's come. Thomas, we'll end it there. Let's come back. And guys, if you got a chance to hear some of that, as I say, Shannon came out with his piece right after, you know, they went off the air with First Take, and then Stephen A. Smith came back later because I knew he felt that he needed to say something in reference to the situation because of Shannon is on his show. He bought Shannon on the show. You got to remember, Shannon came to the show when the Super Bowl situation with Michael Irvin took place. He replaced that, and then Shannon was being let go by Fox with Skip Bayless, and then he picked up Shannon, and they kept the show moving from a standpoint of elevating the ratings when it comes to sports talk shows. But now Stephen A's found himself where he had to come out and say something because everybody was wondering. But there are some interesting things in this that Stephen A said. And as we continue, we'll listen to some more of this and break that down. Stephen A is giving you some insight on exactly what was pretty much going to take place. And you know, you can tell from how he sounds that it just was a little shaky as, you know, this thing is playing out. But it's going to be interesting to see. Shannon released a statement today that he was, you know, stepping away from ESPN for a while. He'll be back at the beginning of the football season. Now, neither here nor there, if he had a chance to speak with some of the higher up, as Stephen A. called them, some of the higher up, and we started hearing some of these things that was going to start. And Tony Busby is a guy, I guarantee you, he haven't investigated, probably looking into every situation with Stephen A. Smith. But not only that, and I don't know how true this is, and I'm hoping that this is not true. Another story that broke today was interesting to hear. Some people said that allegations that were made against that Shaq made. And I don't know how much that you listen to this, guys. Did you guys get a chance to hear what Shaq stated in reference to this situation?
Yeah, Jeff.
Chris Arias, y'all get a chance to hear what Shaq said, and it was kind of, ooh, I'm hoping Shaq ain't. But I know there's bad blood between Shaq and Shannon Sharpe. There is some bad blood there. Shannon Sharpe made some comments about Shaq that he didn't like. And now I guess this is everybody's time to, I guess, if they're trying to do their get back, this is their time to do their get back. But I don't know if this is, you know, I don't know how much that is true that your guy was saying that Shannon came out, that Shaq came out and was stating that Shaq avoid the surface. Matt Barnes stated that Shaq is throwing top dollars around for any dirt on Shannon's shop. And that broke on the story on X. I don't know how Matt, and that, if you listen to that, that's some actually really, that's Matt Barnes' voice. So he said it was on a phone conference call. He was with some people. And this is something that, you know, Shaq hasn't officially come out and said, this is coming from Matt Barnes. So this is coming from a second source, not the actual source, which is Shaq. But I know there's been some things about Shaq and Shannon Sharpe, some stuff Shannon Sharpe said that they should have won more championships. With the Lakers, Shaq was out of shape, and I think Shaq took didn't take that too well. He didn't take it too well. So I don't know if that's true. I hope that's not true. But Matt Barnes is saying it, and he's saying it publicly that this is what Shaq has stated. So I don't know how true that is. I'm gonna try to, if I can, guys, I'm gonna try to get that soundbite pulled up. Chris, have you heard that, anything on that?
No, this is actually, you know, the first I'm hearing of it. I always knew Shannon and Shaq, you know, had a little bit of tension, some bad blood, but nothing to the point of that. No, I was actually looking forward to you digging a little deeper and putting me on game.
Yeah, it was, like I said, this came to me earlier today, and I was floored when I heard Matt Barnes. Literally, Matt Barnes lit his, I'm like, oh, wow, this is deep. And I'm going to try to send this to Thomas, this story, but I don't know how true, I don't know how true this is. These are the words of someone else. I don't know how true that is, and I'm hoping that it's not. But if you go to looking this up, it's being thrown out there. It's being thrown out there. And like I said, Matt Barnes was the one that brought this up because he said they was on a conference call. So I'm trying to see if I can find actual where Matt Barnes is himself is actually saying this. I think I might have it, and I'm gonna try to send it over to Thomas. Tom, I'm gonna try to send this to you. So I'm trying to. So I don't know how true this is, and if it is, this is wow. I mean, these guys in this world is something. These guys are deep when it comes to this stuff, man. It's going to get deeper. The waters, I'm quite sure. Like I say, Busby is digging deep, and he know it. He's digging real deep here, and to find out some more information. You got to understand, Busby was the one on the Deshaun Watson case. Did everybody's understanding that? That Busby was on the Deshaun Watson's case, and he, like I said, they dug up so much on Deshaun Watson. And it's pretty much derailed his whole career. And now he finds himself, he hasn't been the same since. He hasn't been a superstar since that time. So it is interesting to see how, like I say, this stuff is playing out. It is unfolding right before our eyes. And I'm quite sure I was listening to Will Bond yesterday, and he was saying that he's talked to some producers, and they're saying there's a lot of things that here that's going to unravel within the next couple of days. And I'm quite sure this Shannon is waiting on this guy. Shannon is waiting on a tape. He's waiting on a particular tape to be released. He said 30 seconds of a tape that Busby and the young lady has put together. He wanted them to play the whole thing, but and I'm quite sure they showed him. They probably showed him, and that's when Shannon probably stated, you know, hey, we'll settle for $10 million. But to settle for $10 million, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. I mean, it's crazy to settle for that much of I'm still trying to see, ouchie, how you settle. What's y'all take on this $10 million settlement?
Man, it's a shakedown. I feel like the amount's gonna go up every day. It may be some more news coming out. It may be some more allegations. It may be a change in something every day. It's kind of what it seems like. So this could go even higher and continue to go. So it's a shakedown.
Yes, like I say, this stuff is going to get deeper and deeper as it goes. I mean, you know, and Shannon, like I said, this young lady, Shannon met her 2 years ago. She followed Shannon. Shannon moved to Vegas. When Shannon moved to Vegas, she moved to Vegas. But she's also made some strong allegations against Shannon. And as you know, like I say, they are just allegations. This is what I want everybody to understand. These are just allegations that's being made. Now, are they hurting allegations? Yeah. I mean, we see right now, he's not on right now. As of right now, he won't be back with First Take. And you got to understand, Shannon was only doing 2 days a week. His contract had him only doing Monday and Tuesday. Even when Mike was with First Take, Irvin was only doing Mondays of First Take. And then he would join in some days if they're deep talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Stephen A. Smith finds himself in a whole nother situation where he's pretty much now without one of his main attractions. You know, he's out without the main, one of the main, one of his main football guys, Hall of Famer. You know, at one point he had several on the show. Now there's not that many. So that's the question I say, and that bad blood came earlier. Now, if this is true that Shaq is stating that, I don't see that coming. It will blow my mind if that is true. What you guys take on that? You got Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And just kind of chiming back towards, you know, it ends up going back towards that 10 mil. Because I guess, you know, you look like you're about to say something. Go ahead, Tom.
No, I won't say that. No. Go ahead. Okay.
So it, and I feel for Shannon right now, because I'm going to go ahead and just take this one here. I feel offering the 10 ain't always about guilt. It's survival. When you're worth tens of millions and everything you built is on the line, sometimes you write the check just to keep the wolves out the courtroom. But in this climate, even the check can come off like a confession. Shannon's playing chess, not checkers, but to the public, they only see the headline. So when we end up running back to it, it's a couple of reasonings that I end up kind of thinking about. Damage control, legal strategy, protecting his career. Because at the end of the day, who do we know Shannon to be? We know him to be a TV figure. We know him to be a notable figure. We've known him for his notable quotes. We've known him to be kind of like that uncle that he's perceived himself to be. We see him as that. So then, you know, it ends up in somewhat of a half green light, limelight, and a half red type of limelight. Because then right. You end up under, if he's innocent, why offer the 10 mil? A simple answer could be, the court of public opinion is harsher than the judge's ruling. And it sucks, because not only is that the truth, but that's honestly what the social norm has become, where society will quickly cancel you for something without having any proof. And the same crowd of cameras that was there when you got accused,
they ain't going to be there
when they outside when you get proved innocent.
I'm telling you, they're not going to be there. But Chris, hold on. Hold that second for a minute, guys. Thomas, can you play that second soundbite I sent you? Can you start it at like around 37 seconds? The second soundbite I just sent you with Matt Barnes.
You on that kind of time or not? But Shaq is known to throw large sums of money around, so just want to put that out there.
And
quiet.
And if you're hearing, like I say, Matt Barnes is pretty much stating that, you know, that there is a rift between these two. Matt, you know, is in that basketball world, so he understands that. And I guess Shannon made some comments about Shaq. And there's been some issues that fallen out with Shannon and some other guys. You know, remember he had to fight. He was going to fight ringside with one of the NBA guys. So there's been some bad blood. Yeah. Play it back. At 21 seconds, and then we'll roll on through it again. I want that soundbite to be playing again. Play that again for me.
On this kind of time, but I was in a group chat the other day, or actually just yesterday, and Shaq said he's paying top dollar for any information on old boy. So again, I don't know if you're on that kind of time or not, but Shaq is known to throw large sums of money around. So just want to put that out there.
And now, Thomas, you can play it back. You can play it back. What's up, Deshaun? Did y'all getting a chance to hear exactly what's being stated here? Like I say, if it is true, his only allegations is not the, you know, from us here at the station. This Shannon, they're saying Shaq is paying large sums of money. So I'm quite sure that a lot of this, where there's smoke, there's fire. They don't like each other. So Shaq is saying, hey, listen, I'm going to throw money out here. I need y'all to find some dirt. And I guarantee somebody's reached out to Shaq and said, hey, listen, is this true? And they're on the take. They got private investigators on the take to try to find some of this. It's like I said, I've heard when Stephen A. Smith said what he said, I've heard that before. And when I heard that before, once I heard that one time, I said, okay, this may not end well for the standpoint of, I know when he said he had to talk to his bosses, it was probably going to come out sooner or later that either Shannon Sharpe was going to step away from this, or this was going to continue to get, because it's going, I'm quite sure they know. ESPN has been contacted on this. And like I said, ESPN is a Disney, is owned by Disney. So this is why I'm saying what I'm saying. I knew I had heard this before with Stephen A. When this thing fell through before, and I knew at that point, I said, okay, Shannon's probably going to be forced to step away. It's not looking good at this point, and I knew as they're continuing. Then, like I said, some stories breaking out about FS1, some things that took place at FS1. So this stuff is getting interesting each and every day as this stuff unfolds. We gotta get to a point to where all these are allegations. And like I said, is Shannon saying is a shakedown of what happened. When you start rising, they tell you when you start rising, at each level, there's a different devil. Mm-hmm. At each level, there's a different devil. So that's why I'm saying that this thing starts to rise and start to unfold and unravel. How deep? I hope this does not turn into another Deshaun Watson type of situation to where now everybody's starting to come out of the woodworks. Hey, he did this to me, he did that to me. And do Shannon Sharpe still have that deal of that $100 million on the table? Or do the sponsors of Shay Shay and Nightcap say, we might have to step back from this until this is over? And now we find ourselves in a situation. Give me your take on that, guys.
Let me see.
Just chime in. What's your take on it? I can hear you. Go ahead.
My take on it is, it's a doggy dog world, boy. Like I say, like Chris said, I feel sorry for Shannon right now, man. He's just in a messed up position. And then what I'm hearing from you guys now about Shaq chiming in, and I didn't even know it was a whole thing with Shaq. So this is a whole nother angle now this is in. Like, now it's just been a whole big mess to where I think they try to find anything on Shannon because, like you say, he's rising. This year was his year. Like, he cracked the year off.
Yeah, with Shannon was the
that blowed him up. Like, he was the man this year. Like, this was his year. So now, everybody see the success. Now they're gunning at you. Like, now yeah. they don't like what you're doing. Simple. I mean, like I said, I'm not saying he's right. I don't know what he did. I don't know what happened with him and the girl. But I know from experience, when you're going up, man, it's just going to be, like you say, it's a different levels,
Different so, level comes different devils, trust me. And go ahead, Sean.
And then I think this lawyer should be looked at. Like, he should be looked at. Like, you should seriously investigate him. Because that's like you say, he was one with the Deshaun Watson thing. That got nowhere. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it didn't get nowhere. It wasn't gonna Deshaun had to pay out some, he had to pay some money out.
Yeah, he paid some money. I mean, and that's really the thing I think they're just gunning at is like, why can't the public I see this? Like, okay, if you got people that's saying, okay, this guy is really phony when it comes to this type of thing, like why isn't he being looked into? Like, why isn't he being investigated?
I mean, you can't. He's an attorney, and pretty much that's taking on any cases and trying to. Patent his cases with it. So as an attorney, he's doing what attorneys do. That's and Busby is known for doing what he does. He follows these cases closely, and they get their investigative work on it, and they move on it. But they got that and moving on. Let's go. Tonight is the NFL draft. Let's talk some upside. Tonight is the NFL draft. And there's going, as I told people earlier, there's going to be some happy people, and then there's going to be some sad people. people waiting to get drafted. But guys, listen, as I look at this draft is interesting. The one thing that is coming out of this draft that reminds me of the Lamar Jackson draft is that as we got closer to the draft, they went to talking about how Lamar Jackson stock is starting to drop. I was there that day when Lamar Jackson was being drafted as they sat in that green room, and it went pick after pick after pick after pick after pick. And I think we was around that 25th pick. And some people called Ozzie Newsome, and he talked to Ozzie Newsome and saying, "Hey man, I know you ain't gonna let this brother sit here in this green room like that," because Ozzie had the last pick that was getting ready to come up. And at that point, Ozzie just said, "Hey, yeah, no, we're gonna pull the trigger on it. We're gonna take him," which was a smart thing for the Ravens, and it's been an upside ever since. But when we look at this draft, like I say, if that tends to happen, and here we go, if that tends to happen, to where all of a sudden Shadur was to drop out of the top 10. He drops out of the top 10. And he goes, as I look down my list, Jacksonville doesn't need a quarterback. New England going to more or less lean toward an offensive tackle. The Giants, I don't see the Giants making a move at this. And I think Cleveland wants to go and get Travis Hunter. For them. So if that doesn't happen and we continue to go, Jacksonville doesn't take him, I think Jacksonville probably wind up going Jente. They probably going to go a running back. The Vegas, that's going to be a question. Now, in Vegas, but then you got to remember, Vegas just signed Geno. Y'all with me, guys? And then, everyone, the Jets. Let's look at the Jets pick. The Jets in Penn State. We got Carolina coming out of that. New Orleans. New Orleans could be a spot, possibly they'd want it, but I just don't, because they just, you know, they got Derek Carr and they waiting to see how that unfolds. But then we go, like I say, we go out the Colts. If he drops out of that top 10, Dallas is definitely not. I don't see Dallas picking up due to the fact that Dallas need offensive line help. Zach Martin is gone, and they need to get offensive line help there. The Dolphins are not. They got Tua, so they're not going to take him. Chicago, no. Atlanta Falcons, I don't see that neither. You got Arizona Cardinals. Arizona's not going to take him. Where do you guys see if he drops out of the top 10? Where do you possibly see Shedeur Sanders going if he drops out of the top 10?
I got, and this is just my take based off of what I've seen so far with the offseason moves, but my three are here. You either got Pittsburgh, you got the LA Rams, or you got the New Orleans Saints, as you previously stated. The Steelers have shown interest in Sanders, and he could be a valuable addition to their quarterback room with veterans like Russell Wilson and Justin Fields on that roster. Sanders right. would have the opportunity to develop without immediate pressure to start. Pittsburgh's stable organization and strong coaching staff could provide that ideal environment for him to grow. With L.A., with Matthew right. Stafford nearing the end of his career, might look to the future by selecting Sanders. Under Sean McVay, Sanders could learn and develop as a quarterback in a quarterback-friendly system, is setting the stage for a seamless transition when Stafford retires. And then, like you said, New Orleans, while the Saints hold the 9th overall pick, weather reports indicate they might not select the quarterback there. However, they could be exploring options to trade up from their second-round pick to possibly target Sanders if he slips past that first round.
Is it past the first round or past that first 10 picks?
So I'm speaking on both. So let's say
so – you're saying – So you're saying he could possibly fall out of the first round completely?
There's a chance. And the only reason why I say that, it could be a slide or steal situation with him.
Yeah,
if he does fall, it's a reflection of it could either be a genuine concern of or an overreaction to pre-draft narratives.
But now, but in that, are they basing this more on the fact that when you bring Shedeur Sanders in, understand that his dad comes with him, and his dad is a phenom, one of the best defensive backs to ever play the game and understands the game, is a businessman. Do you think a lot of people want to say, do we want to really deal with that?
Now, that ends up coming with the media influence on draft stock. Because correct. How much does the media narratives and anonymous scouting reports impact the player's draft position? Especially when you're dealing with a Hall of Famer son. And this isn't just any Hall of Famer, because when you deal with a Hall of Famer, a gold jacket, their sons, they're automatically looked at with a different lens.
But what lens are they look? But in now, and we're okay. We're talking. Remember, there's a difference here. Now we're like with the Mannings and their dad. But this is Deion Sanders and his son.
Right.
Do they hold that same narrative as the Mannings hold? I don't think they're in that. I don't think people, scouts and GMs, are judging, because they're probably saying to themselves, "Can we actually control?" What goes on around everything that'll come with a Shedeur Sanders?
That ends up being the question, not only between the coaches, but with the GM and everybody else in the executive office involved, because when you're dealing with, it goes back to that lens. Like you said, that lens is different with a Manning or Jerome Bettis' son or Randy Moss' son.
Why is there a difference from a standpoint of those guys? And here you guys got the greatest defensive back to ever play the game. Why is there such a difference between Deion Sanders and the Mannings or something along those lines? And we've seen how even in previous to this draft, Eli and the Mannings said, hey, we won't play. We're not going to play for a particular team. And they had to do a in-trade draft. Remember, he didn't want to play for San Diego. And he said he wouldn't. So then that's why how they did a some on draft during the draft, and to where the Giants took him because they said he would not play. Now, even in this instance, I think when Deion came out and said he'll pick, they got to know what team he's going to. I think that has hurt Shedeur here. And I think a lot of people are saying, because if Shedeur slips, now you got the Giants sitting at 26. So if Shedeur slips and goes past Pittsburgh, but I don't see Tomlin letting him, if he comes out of that top 10, I don't see Tomlin letting him get away. I just don't. The man that Tomlin is, Tomlin will bring him in.
I don't think Tomlin gonna let him go.
That's what I said. I think Tomlin will get him and say, Tomlin know that he can deal with what comes with Shedeur Sanders and everything that's around that. Because if he slipped, the only other team that would be looking to, you know, get a draft pick that would maybe get a quarterback would be the Giants. And a lot of people are saying that the Giants are going to pick up Dart, quarterback out of Ole Miss. I think they like him. For what odd reason, they like him better. And a lot of people really, and I got a chance to see Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders up close, really up close. And when I looked at both of their games and I studied both of their games, their games were the same, identical from my perspective of it. They both was, sometimes they'll hold the ball too long when they should get, sometimes they'll try to look for the big play and it become a blunder, because I've seen that on several occasions. I've seen that when we was up at, when we was up in Georgia Tech at the last couple of plays of those games, to where Cam Ward held the ball too long and he went to scrambling. And it cost him. When he could have just ran for the first down, he chose to continue to scramble around and play around, and the ball get turned over. Georgia Tech wins the ball game, when he could have just really ran for the first down and continued to get the ball rolling. And that's interesting, like I said, but because of the simple fact they're making it seem like there's a difference between those two guys. Do you, Deshaun, do you see a difference in those two types of quarterbacks from your standpoint?
to be honest, I really don't see a difference. The only thing the difference was in is I think Cam made more down the field throws, and you know, Shadori was more of a screen guy, check down guy, correct, stuff like that. I mean, that's the only thing I see really different. They playing style really the same. They like, well, Shadori don't scramble that much, but if he has to, yeah. But Cam Ward to get out of there, but you know, only thing I say is more, I think Shador is more aggressive with the play calling, and then
yes,
Cam Ward is more nonchalant, and you know, whatever happens, happens. I mean, but they both gonna put you in a position to win. I mean, but I don't really see the styles being too much different. I mean, I think they're the same person. Now, if we're talking about a Jason Dart, stuff like that, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's been doing this year in and year out in the SEC. So, I mean, I will see why he comes up in the conversation. I mean, because he's been 3,000, 4,000, like back-to-back. So I can see why his name would come up.
Correct.
But when we go back to, like you say, with the LJ thing, and I just think it's a cycle they're repeating. You know, it's just – I mean, they don't like – the thing they won't admit is Deion has too much power. He has too much influence. So if I'm bringing your kid to my team, I got to deal with that. Just like you said, that I got to deal with that. And that's their question. Are they willing to deal with that?
You got to have a strong head coach and a strong front office to be able to. And that's what I think this is some of them guys' way now. Guys of being able to get back at Deion Sanders.
Now
we in control. And I think Tomlin is the guy that can deal with it. I think Tomlin can deal with that a great deal. Let's look at who you guys, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys per se, I see the Dallas Cowboys not, and a lot of, you know, I brought it up on a show with Michael Irvin them last week, in reference to the Dallas Cowboys, if he slips out of the top 10, that Dallas said, and those guys were saying, no, not going to happen, for the simple fact they've given Dak Prescott so much money. You've invested so much in Dak, but technically, as of right now, the investment has not netted what you're looking to net. And they said no, because then that means Dak is looking over his shoulders and he's not feeling well. He's going to be upset. So I see that, like I said, I see the Dallas Cowboys drafting Booker, the big guard out of Alabama, because, like I said, Zach Martin situation with Dak Martin retiring, they gotta go line something that's going to protect Dak Prescott. So I don't see it, even with the Miami Dolphins. I think the Miami Dolphins go to Michigan. They go to Michigan to get a Graham. And get him on the board. But now, guys, the one interesting thing that I'm finding out, there's possibly two running backs. Now, we went from, Deshaun, this something, we went from running backs never being a first round. It was hard to get you back in the first round because they felt they could have got you in the middle round, to now running backs are starting to resurface. And I think with Saquon Barkley, with all these guys now starting to show that you need a running game to win championships, I think that's starting to surface back that you got to have a running back in order to play this game. What's your take on that, John?
Really just, you know, just, I mean, respecting the running back position. I mean, like, been many years to where, man, they just been looking down on that position and it's treating us like nothing. So, I mean, like you say, Saquon Barkley just changed all that, so. I mean, if we look at it, if Philly don't have Saquon, they don't win.
Correct.
They don't win that. Like, the running game is so important, man. If you don't have a running game, you can't do a thing. They say Gibbs, what Gibbs been doing for Detroit, Saquon did for Philly.
Yes.
Pacho did for Kansas City. These guys get getting the running game going. So now that's why a lot of these teams are – seeing success. That's why Jaguars, I think, are going to go after Jenty.
Yeah.
Now you have two horses in the stable. And what's the running back over there? that came from Clemson, the running back. I got to get his name. But you have two horses in the stable that, you know, that give you a real respected running game. Like, now you have a quarterback that can open it up off the run. You know, this is just like, you just got to give us our respect back. That's it. That's all.
Listen. Chris, and when you talk about let's go at the receiver. Which receiver you think is the first receiver outside of Travis Hunter? We're gonna get away. But where do you see? What position do you see Travis Hunter playing at the level at the NFL level as his primary position? He's came out and said that I'm not going to play. If you don't let me play both ways, I'm done. Which position do you see him playing primarily in the NFL?
And it ends up coming out of not only my love for the position of wide receiver, but also my understanding of what it takes to be a receiver. Everybody feels the receiver position is such a diva-made position, and it only comes from the fact that we end up having to play the biggest actor, in a sense. So what my take is, where Travis ends up being primary, I truthfully see him as a DB. And it's not to take away from his receiver skills, because I love him at the receiver position. I love him as a receiver. He's a dog. He knows how to high point the ball. He knows how to make the crazy
catches. But is he big enough gotta understand, the league has changed. They're big receivers.
Yes.
How physical can he get on the line of scrimmage? Real, you still there?
I'm here.
Man, you quiet back there, brother. You quiet
now,
back there.
Before my brother chimes in, I heard a take, and I don't know if it was Tyreek Hill or if it was just another podcast that I heard, but they made a great point when I said this. Could you imagine having to be physically set to go a bunch of reps on defense against the Tyreek Hill and then having to turn around?
Not gonna
and
happen.
Having to go against the Jalen Ramsey, it's not gonna happen. So the reason why I truly feel at that DB position is where he would thrive at is because, one, he's long and rangy. He understands the game. He understands his position. He understands defenses. He understands where he needs to be with his assignment. So I don't discredit his receiver skills, but just like you were saying, when you have to go against those big rangy corners, it's a difference when you're going against them slim ones. But when you're dealing with those big ones, I mean those receiver-built corners, it's a different ball game. Because of the fact, not only are you dealing with someone that has the size, but they have the strength.
Correct.
They have that strength to be able to control the narrative at the line of scrimmage, because that's where the battle's won, the line of scrimmage for us. So if we don't win there, we're pretty much done. We're done.
Listen, we got 1 minute. Give me your let's take a poll on your first pick. Deshaun, give me your first pick of the draft. Chris, give me your first pick.
Give me a quiz. I was just pondering that myself.
First pick.
First pick of the draft.
Chris, give me what's your first pick?
My first pick,
about 2 minutes left. What's your first pick?
I got Tennessee Titans taking Cam Ward.
You got Cam Ward. Chris, what you got?
I'm locking in the same thing. Tennessee Titans on Cam.
I'm gonna lock in the Cam also. Deshaun, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Who you locking in on? First pick. Give me your first pick. We gotta get ready to go off there.
First pick is now what I might think happened, some unbelievable gonna happen.
So you thinking the only unbelievable thing that can happen is that they take Shakur Sanders.
I'm thinking Travis first.
Oh,
I'm thinking Travis.
So you're gonna go Travis first. We got a minute left. You going Travis. We're gonna come back to this. Now Deshaun got Travis and the rest of us going Cam Ward. He went deep. If that happens, everything slides in this draft. This draft get crazy if that was to happen. But absolutely. Like I said, guys, we got to sign off. We're signing off. Great show. Like I said, we're going to keep giving it to them. Look for our podcast that we're going to do when they say the word on the street, what they're talking about. Like I said, thank you guys for joining the show. We're going to keep bringing it, information to them each and every week. But until then, we got to say peace here at the Tony Sands Show. Deuces.
Out of here.
Go. Ghost.